Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on vaccination when we come back. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Code? And how many laws do we have in our secular government? How many laws from our federal and state governments? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and the state, at last count, has given us 2.5 million laws. 2.5 million. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. And he said that in Acts 5, verse 29. And you know the Congress of the United States said the same thing. They told us we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. You know, every authority is in agreement. Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself. The Scripture is the final authority on law in the United States of America. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, I contend that it's a right, it's a duty, and it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and our society. And I teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and I do that twice a year here at the law school. Now, why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? And your First Amendment right, remember, is the gateway to the Second, and to, indeed, your entire Bill of Rights in your Constitution. Now, the law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my business and Mosaic Law Schools are both available on compact disc for adult home study. So you don't have to come to law school. You can do this by correspondence at home. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, this week we've been talking about vaccinations and this thing called the avian flu. And I said a little earlier in the series here that in the event that avian flu doesn't spontaneously generate like Hurricane Katrina, I'm sure that the authorities in charge can boost it along or help it along by creating it. So I think they're telling us that we're going to have a flu pandemic worldwide. I took you through a number of segments in the programs, and I showed you how the government has an ulterior motive behind these vaccinations. And so does the pharmaceutical industry and the doctors. They've got money to make, and they're selling a program. They're selling a product. And the program and the product that we're selling is a 90% reduction. It's called Global 2000, a 90% reduction in the population of the Earth. That human beings are weeds that need to be mowed down. Now, vaccination is a part and parcel with that process. In fact, vaccination is one of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which was published back in 1884. And I said last time I would give you some statistics as to the cause and effect relationship in vaccination. So let's take smallpox was the number one disease that was attacked by vaccination. What was the results? When did we start? What's the history of this smallpox story? Well, listen to this. Smallpox declined before vaccination was enforced. To mistake inference or axioms for facts has been a curse of science. Now, the simple fact is that we have less smallpox now than we did 200 years ago. That does not in any degree prove that vaccination caused this decline, although the promoters of vaccination have taken upon themselves to take full credit for this improvement. Now, the most noticeable decrease in smallpox and other zoonotic diseases began with the sanitation reforms just prior to 1800, and the improvement in nutrition brought about by such health crusaders as Trawl, Graham, and Jennings around 1840. This sanitation and health improvement program included sewage disposal, cleaning of streets, cleaning of backyards, cleaning of stables, and the improvement of roads so that fresh vegetables, milk, and other vital foods could be transported rapidly to the cities and distributed while they were still fresh. And four, the water supply was improved and protected from contamination. And fifth, housing projects were built out in the suburbs to relieve congestion of population in the central cities. Now, the nutritional teachings stressed natural whole grain bread instead of white bread, fresh fruits and vegetables free from salt, sugar, chemicals, and other harmful preservatives, and the rejection of coffee, tea, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, and other drastic poisons. Meat and other low-grade proteins were denounced in favor of nuts, beans, and other such proteins with more health value and less toxic effects. The age-old terror diseases such as Black Plague, Black Death, cholera, that were previously believed to be contagious, responded at once to this health program and soon declined to the vanishing point in countries that adopted the sanitation and nutrition improvements. These are diseases of nutritional deficiency and imbalance, just the same as all other diseases are. Now, a glance at the following table of official statistics from England and Wales shows us how smallpox deaths declined after the people began their opposition to the vaccination law and an ever-increasing number refused to be vaccinated. So, the chart showing the decrease in smallpox deaths after the decline of vaccination are as follows. In the period from 1872 to 1881, the percentage of births vaccinated was 96.5%. So the British were vaccinating 96% of their population. And in the 10 years from 1872 to 1881, write this down, the smallpox deaths were 3,708.3. Just to be specific, I mean, these people have the exact numbers. And they have the years, and they have the percentages. So from 1872 to 1881. Now from 1852 to 1872, in that 20-year period, that's when they enacted the compulsory vaccination laws. And they found out in that 20-year period that smallpox went up. It didn't go down, it went up. So the people got ticked off about that, and they said, well, we're not going to follow this vaccination law. So from 1872 to 1881, the vaccine or the vaccination began to drop off, but it reached its peak in that 10-year period. 96.5% of the people are vaccinated, and they had 3,708.3 deaths. Now watch what happens. From 1882 to 1891, the percentage of people vaccinated went down from 96% to 82%. So it went way down. And the number of deaths is 933. I mean, that's one-fourth the number of deaths. Now, from 1892 to 1901, the number of people vaccinated dropped to 67.9%, and the number of people that died dropped to 436. Now, that's 436 per 100,000. Now, notice that they're talking about nearly 4% of the people who are vaccinated in Great Britain. 4% are dying from smallpox. That's in 1872. But by 1900, it's down to only 436 people. From 1902 to 1911, it drops to 67.6. 1912 to 1921, 42.3. 1922 to 31, 43.1% are vaccinated. 32 to 41, 40% are vaccinated. Get this. When the vaccination rate dropped from 96% to 40%, the number of smallpox deaths per 100,000 population dropped from 3,708 to 1.4. Now, listen to that again. It dropped to 1.4 people die per 100,000 by 1940. And the number of people being vaccinated is 40%. Now, remember, the people promoting vaccines have a monetary interest involved. They want to take the credit, when in reality, the real credit belongs to sanitation and nutrition. That's where the real credit belongs. Now, let me show you what happens when you're vaccinated. Here we see that at the time when nearly all, that's 96.5% of the babies were vaccinated, smallpox caused about 4,000 deaths in that 10-year period. But when the vaccines and the vaccinations were resisted until only 39% would submit to it, the death rate dropped to only 1.4 cases per 100,000 people. Now, before the passage of England's compulsory vaccination law in 1853, the highest authentic smallpox death rate was only 2,000 for any two-year period, even during their most serious smallpox epidemics, whereas after 20 years of compulsory vaccination, there occurred the most devastating scourge of smallpox in 1870 and 71 that the world has ever known. It took 23,062 lives in England and Wales and spread all over Europe. In all of the countries where vaccination and inoculation had been practiced on a large scale, the rate of smallpox increased dramatically. And after that, the vaccination laws were enforced even more rigidly until the people began to notice that smallpox was not decreasing by this practice, but continued to ravage the homes of the vaccinated. During this same epidemic in Germany, 124,948 people died of smallpox. Every one of them had been vaccinated according to their carefully kept records. You got that? So they go out here and they vaccinate everybody in the country, and 125,000 people die, and every one of them has been vaccinated. In Berlin alone, no less than 17,038 persons had smallpox after vaccination, and 2,884 of them died. Now, in Sheffield, England, where 97% of her 200,000 inhabitants had been thoroughly and frequently vaccinated for many years, a smallpox epidemic swept the city in 1887 and caused 7,101 cases and 648 deaths. Now, get this. I'm going to repeat that. In Sheffield, England, 97% of the people are vaccinated. There are 200,000 people in this city. So if 97% of them have been vaccinated, only 6,000 people in a city of 200,000 have not had their vaccinations. Now, the city in 1887 had a smallpox outbreak of 7,101 cases, 648 deaths. Hell, there was only 6,000 people in the whole damn place that hadn't had their vaccinations. Now, get this. Here's the kicker. Every one of those deaths was in a vaccinated person. None of the 6,000 people who were not vaccinated got the disease, and none of them died. Now, people who believe in vaccination and people who take the credit for the vaccines and the decreases in the disease rate are sincere people. I'm not sitting here saying that they're a bunch of frauds and charlatans, although I'm sure some of them are. the nurse in the last program I told you about. It called me on the telephone. I'm sure that that woman believed every word that she told me. But boys and girls, every word that somebody says to you is not necessarily true. So I know some of you are out there saying, well, yeah, Gordon, and what you're telling us is a lie. Well, might be. I believe it. I think what I'm telling you is exactly true, accurate, and correct. Now, why don't you take me up on the challenge? Why don't you prove me wrong? You know, it's in your own self-interest. It's in your best interest, not mine. I'm not going to get my flu vaccine this year. We'll come back next year and see if I'm still alive. And when we get through with this avian flu, it's going to kill. They're telling us now. They're predicting. And I'm sure they've got the statistics to back it up. They think that it's going to kill up to 1 billion, that's a B as in boy, billion people worldwide. And I showed you the other day, that's the plan. I mean, if we're going to reduce the Earth's population, war hasn't done it. Birth control hasn't done it. And as one of these sinister fellows put it, he said, what we need is a virus. They've got it. They've got the virus. It's called avian flu. It's called HIV/AIDS. It's a virus. They've got it. And they're using it. They've spread that AIDS all over the world. And it's killing tens of thousands of people. And they're not through yet. The AIDS is still growing by leaps and bounds. Now, statements of the health officials regarding vaccinated smallpox. Listen to this. Sir Thomas Chambers of the QCMP, he's the recorder of the City of London. He said, quote, I find that of the 155 persons admitted to the smallpox hospital in the parish of St. James, Piccadilly, 145 had been vaccinated. Now, that's 94%. Hang on, boys and girls. Aren't they telling us that when you get vaccinated, it protects you from the disease? Hell, clear back in the 1800s, for crying out loud, the statistics were showing these people that no, it doesn't. In fact, 94% of the people admitted to the hospital had been vaccinated. In the United States today, the people who come down with polio, all of them are vaccinated. There hasn't been a wild case of polio reported in this country for 20 or 30 years. Everybody that gets polio in this country is vaccinated. That's what keeps the polio virus alive, the vaccine. And polio was declining long before the Salk vaccine came into play. Here's more. In Mary Lavoir Hospital, 92% of the smallpox cases had been vaccinated. Marson's report of Highgate Hospital for 1871 states that of the 950 cases of smallpox, 870, 90% of the whole number of patients had been vaccinated. At Hempstead Hospital, up to May 13, 1884, out of 2,965 admissions for smallpox, 2,347 had been vaccinated, 79%. After these vaccination epidemics, more and more people refused to comply. The people, they could see this. Now, you know, if in America people could see that vaccinations don't work, they would stop doing that. But you know, we get propagandized in this country through the mainstream media. People don't read. They don't go to the statistics. Now, there won't be one of you persons listening, or one of you people listening to me right now. Not one of you in 100. Not 1%. Are going to go check these statistics. You'll either believe me or you won't. But you're not going to prove it one way or the other. Now, I get emails and letters in here, and people will write me and they'll say, Gordon, your statistics are incorrect. I went out and checked your numbers, and here are the correct numbers. Now, there's a guy that's a serious researcher. I mean, that's a guy that goes out and says, okay, I took up your challenge, and I proved that you're wrong. We'll do that. Prove me wrong. I couldn't be happier. Then send me an email and say, hey, you got those numbers wrong, and then I'll correct them. Now, most people believe the propaganda, or they believe what they read. So when you get into this hype of the influenza. You're going to watch a phenomenon, so let me predict it. In New Orleans, the people who stayed, about 60 or 70,000, and weathered the storm, within 4 days after Hurricane Katrina, they were begging the government, let me on the bus, I don't care where in the hell we're going, just get me out of here. They had been reduced by the government and FEMA to total blubbering mounds of protoplasm, totally unable to take care of themselves. Take care of me. Send me to any relocation center. Why, those people would go to Auschwitz or Buchenwald and pay their own fare. They'd buy their own tickets. Now, there were some people that refused to leave. They stuck by their guns, even through the mandatory evacuation, and the government left them alone, and they just stayed right there. Now, you can do the same thing with vaccinations. You've got mandatory vaccination. When this flu epidemic comes, you people will line up and say, please give me the shot. Relocate me. Quarantine me. Do whatever it is that needs to be done, but save me. Help me. I can't help myself. Those are total wards of the state. Those people can't be helped, and they can't be saved. Some people will stick by their guns. They will not be vaccinated. And they will not submit to any mandatory vaccination program. They will quarantine themselves, and they will take care of themselves. And that's what we're reading about here. There were some people that said, to hell with this, we're not going to put up with it, and we're not going to participate in it. But you'll see that. People will be fighting to get these vaccines and these shots. And these vaccines and these shots are the very instruments by which they will be killed. Now, these vaccines, when they shoot you up for the flu, you don't walk out on the street and fall over dead from the flu. Years later, you develop Alzheimer's disease and die. You develop cancer or some other degenerative disease and die. You don't die from the flu. And when your death certificate is made out, it's not going to say, this person died from an inoculation of the avian flu virus. It's going to say you died from pneumonia, you died from cancer, you died from heart attack or stroke. It's never going to identify the cause. People don't die from AIDS. People die from the subsequent diseases that the AIDS causes. That's the way they're killing you. Talk about a perfect crime. They get you to pay $25 for the vaccine that later kills you with cancer, and your death certificate says, this guy died from cancer, not from the inoculation. Well, now, after these vaccination epidemics, more and more people simply refuse to comply with these unjust vaccination laws, and as a result of this, and as a result of the improvements in sanitation and nutrition, smallpox took a drop and continued to decline until it is rarely seen at the present time. In 1942, one case of smallpox in Sidon, Britain, resulted in the vaccination of a large number of people. Now, there were only three cases of smallpox which occurred, and all three of these recovered. But of the large number of people who had been vaccinated, 12 vaccinated individuals died from the inflammation of the brain. This is a common after-effect of vaccination for smallpox. In the same year, near Edinburgh, Scotland, 8 people died of smallpox, 6 of which had been vaccinated, while 10 died from the effects of the vaccination. Got that? That's where you're at with polio today. There's people that are dying from polio, all right, but it's not caused by the polio, it's caused by the vaccine. But again, it only kills a small number of people. So if you were to say, if you could legitimately say that the thousands of cases of autism that are caused by the vaccine are justified by the tens of millions of people who are protected from these degenerative or these infectious diseases, you know, the trade-off might be worth it. My point is here, there isn't a shred of evidence that one vaccine, one shot, ever kept one person from getting sick. But there's tons of evidence that the vaccines have caused lots of sickness and killed lots of people. Now, there's a belief out there that these vaccines protect you from the disease. That's a belief. That's not evidence, and that's not proof. There is evidence, and there is proof, that the vaccines kill people. There's no evidence that the vaccine ever prevented a single sickness. But we assume it, we believe it, and we act accordingly. And of course, if you believe it and you want to act accordingly, it's a choice for you to make. Now, I'm going to make my choice, and you're going to make your choice. The purpose for this series of programs is to give you an opportunity to look into the other side of the coin and see whether or not you want to make a more informed and a more intelligent choice. And I would contend that it's not an intelligent choice to be vaccinated without looking into the other side, any more than it would be an intelligent choice not to be vaccinated without looking into the vaccination issue. And I think once you look into the vaccination issue, you'll come to a conclusion, and of course that's your decision to make. Now let me tell you about how to avoid vaccinations. Some of you people out there will come to a conclusion and you'll say, well, I don't want this vaccination, but I'm really afraid. I don't know how to deal with the school officials. I don't know how to deal with the government. I don't know how to deal with the law. All right, so let me give you a couple of three sources to go to here. Number one, go to www.vaclib, that's V-A-C-L-I-B, .org/legal/refusal program. Now, it's a long one. Let me do it again. It's www.vaclib, V-A-C-L-I-B.org. That'll get you on the website. And they have Vaccination Liberation Information. That's the name of the organization, Vaccination Liberation Information. These are people opposed to vaccinations. And they have a legal form here. If you want to avoid vaccinations, make up your own waiver. I'm going to tell you a little story here before we take our break. I got a call here, I don't know, a few years back, it's been some time now, when my little girl was in the public school over here at what we call the Ludi School in Theodosia. And she had, this little girl has never had a vaccination in her life. She's 18 years old, she's never had a shot. She's never broken a law. She's in compliance with the vaccination laws of the state of Missouri. She has a vaccination record over in the Ludi School to this day. I mean, if you went over there and said, I want Cole Gordon's vaccination record, they could pull it out in the file over there, and it'll show you there's a waiver. She's been excused from vaccinations on religious grounds. She's a religious objector. Now, when that girl turns 18, she's not quite 18 yet, but she will be here shortly. When that girl turns 18, if she wants vaccination, she'll be free. She can go out and get all the shots she wants. I'm in favor of free choice. I think that that girl, when she turns 18, should have a right to go out and marry anybody she wants, go out and get drunk, drink, smoke, take drugs, get vaccinated, join the army. I mean, you know, that's what maturity, that's what the age limits are all about. And it's about choice, and she should have a right to choose. But I don't think it should be forced upon her. Now, the state came along here and they said, well, we want all the children in Missouri to be vaccinated. We have a compulsory vaccination law here in Missouri. I think most states in the union do. But there are waivers. There are exemptions. And she has one of the exemptions. And one day the school nurse called me on the phone. She said, your daughter is in school over here and doesn't have her vaccinations up to date. And I said, well, I thought my wife took care of that. I drove over to the school. When I got there, I said, check the record and see if there's a waiver in the file. She did, and she said, oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Gordon. Here's her waiver right here. Now, when you go into the public school, they're not going to tell you anything about religious exemption or medical exemptions. They're not going to tell you about the waiver. They're just going to tell you the official party line, and that is, it's the law. You have to have your vaccinations. So it's up to you to know what the law is. And every law has, every state has its laws. Now, this comes from the state of Montana. This is vaclib.org, just www.vaclib.org, and they have a form here. Now, I'm going to read the polio form here. It starts off, it says, refusal of recommended vaccines. So you're gonna type this up. You're gonna write up this form, or you're gonna get it from VacLib, and here's the form, and it's gonna have your name, and it's got your birth date, and it says here, as the parent guardian of, and it's got a blank, and you write in your kid's name, I have investigated the risks and benefits of the following vaccines and diseases, and I am fully aware that there are documented cases of people contracting diseases for which they are clinically fully immunized, and that the manufacturers of the vaccines do not guarantee 100% efficacy. And I'm also aware that VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, documented cases of over 54,000 adverse reactions from vaccines in a 20-month period. The National Vaccine Injury Fund, created in 1986 to compensate those damaged by vaccines, has paid out over $1 billion in compensation to date. And by the way, let me interject this. If you have a vaccine-related side effect that has caused damages, you may be entitled to or eligible for compensation from this federal program, which is called the VAERS. It's the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. You cannot sue Merck. You can't sue Pfizer for the adverse effects of the vaccine. And by the way, there are no reported cases of anybody vaccinating your kid over your objection or in violation of the waiver. What they do is they try to cunningly coerce you into waiving your rights. You have three options here. Just like public education, you have three options. You can vaccinate your kid. That's option one. Number two, you can get a medical waiver. You can go to your doctor, and your doctor will look at your kid and say, my God, this kid cannot be vaccinated because he's got these allergies or for whatever reason. Or three, a religious exemption. You can come in and say, I'm opposed to this on religious grounds. It violates the law of God. School works the same way. You can send your kid to public school. That's the accepted, normal, politically correct methodology. Or you can educate your child at home, or you can educate your child in a parochial school. You have three options. Your child must be educated. You have three options. The law says your child must be vaccinated. And there are three options. Shoot them up, get a medical exemption, or get a religious exemption. And this organization here called Vaccination Liberation Information at www.vaclib.org can give you the forms. Fill out your own form. In this state, Missouri, the forms are provided by the school. You just walk over to the school and you say, okay, I'm a religious objector. Bring the form out. You sign it and date it and put it in the file. And your kid doesn't need any shots. And every state in the union has that except Mississippi and West Virginia. In those two states, you got a little tougher problem. A little tougher. You're going to actually have to go into court and get a court order signed by a judge. In my state, I just need a medical exemption signed by the doctor, or I need a religious exemption signed by me. It's easy in Missouri. Mississippi, you got a little bigger problem. West Virginia, you got a little bigger problem. Some states, you don't even need the medical or religious exemption. You can just walk in and say, I am personally opposed to. So you have a fourth alternative in some states. Not all, but just a few. Hey, let me give you a reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, for more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of our schools are available on compact disc by mail. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated every week, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archive. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, news, and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. All right, now the sources of information that we use on this program are believed to be true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, here's our caveat. The endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or the publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. I mean, they may hate our guts. They may think we're stupid. And there's another caveat. Most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. So I'm recommending to you, and I want to make this clear, I'm recommending to you www.vaclib.org and the legal form. I have the copy of it right in front of me. I've read every word that's on it. I agree with it, and I think it's a great document. However, this organization called VacLib over here may believe in some things or advocate and practice things that we don't advocate or practice here. They may be Catholics. I get letters every once in a while. People say, did you know that they're a bunch of damn Catholics? I don't know what these people's religious viewpoints or their political viewpoints are. They may be communists. I don't know. I have not looked into their politics. But I did look into their refusal of recommended vaccines, and I read their document, and I agree with it, and I'm recommending it. Now, that much I do recommend. All right, so when you check out some of these organizations, and I get letters in here all the time, did you know they're communists? Did you know they believe in woman's lib? You know? Yeah, there's people out there that have all kinds of crazy beliefs, and I'm one of them. So, just because you don't believe in everything that I say, there might be, from time to time, on one of these programs, something that you actually agree with. Maybe once in 100 programs. Now, keep in mind also that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. So don't blame it on the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or this local radio station. They're just making the facilities available for me to express to you my report. They're not taking credit, and they don't want to take the blame. Now, if you want more information about giving credit or blame, then go to the website, georgegordon.org. That's the Law Hour and Editorial Review webpage, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. All right, now that we got that out of the way, take all of our advertisers and sponsors and radio stations and management and staff off the hook. Vaccination Liberation Information, Questions and Answers. They've got another form here that I want to recommend to you. Questions and Answers. And they go through a bunch of them here. What about adopting a child and giving no vaccinations? Well, we have no personal experience to help guide you in this regard. However, several information sources and suggestions follow. For instance, the social worker who advises that a letter from a doctor would be beneficial is giving good advice, and after some comments is a URL to a refusal letter which can be printed. and also the URL for the laws of Montana regarding school vaccination exemptions, a portion of which is at this page's end. And it might be well to state in writing to the judge that the U.S. government has paid about $1 billion in damages to individuals and or parents for vaccine damages since 1986. All right, now let me tell you a little of my own personal experience here. We had a custody issue come up in which we went to the social workers and to the juvenile judge, and we said, we are absolutely opposed to vaccination for these children, period. And we said it's on religious grounds, which is one of the grounds that you can use, except, remember, in Mississippi and West Virginia. If you vaccinate these children and any adverse reactions come from it, you may rest assured that litigation will surely follow. And the social worker and the judge were in 100% agreement. They said no vaccinations. And these children went to public school, and this went on for 2 years. And they try to cunningly coerce you into giving the vaccinations. They look at you, it's the law. The social worker, they're trained in this. It's the law. See? And so when you say, yes, I'm fully familiar with the law of Missouri on vaccinations and the two exemptions, that is medical and religious, and we want to apply religious. And all of a sudden, the social worker, they smile and say, oh, okay, there's no problem with that. Now, the reason they do that is that they don't want phony balonies coming in here, see? They don't want gold brickers using medicine or using religion. They don't want you Catholics, Baptists, and Methodists to use religious free exercise as an excuse or an exemption for getting these shots and vaccines. Catholics, Protestants, and Jews believe in vaccines. Your church fully supports the government's position on vaccines. So don't walk in there and say, I'm a Baptist and I'm opposed to vaccination. That isn't going to fly. If you have a truly and sincerely held religious viewpoint concerning vaccination based upon the Bible that will meet the Seeger versus United States legal test, then use religious free exercise. If, on the other hand, you have a legitimate medical exemption, you go to your doctor looks at your kid and says, this kid's got asthma, you can't give him this vaccine, then you've got a legitimate legal exemption on medical grounds. If you don't have legitimate medical or religious grounds, shut up! Go get the damn shot! And shut up! That's what the law provides for. Now, if on the other hand, you want to develop some religious viewpoints, then let me invite you to get our free CD package. That'll get you started. Get the free CD package, and let me tell you something about the law. And while you're at it, I'll point out that in the Bible, these vaccinations are strictly prohibited. It's against the law to shoot your kid up with snake venom and monkey pus. It's against the law for you to run around shooting yourself up with snake venom and monkey pus. It's against the law for you to violate or desecrate the temple of God, which is your body. Now, if you want to know about that and where that is in the Bible, I'll be happy to show you that. And I'm not a preacher. I've never spent a day in seminary. And I don't have any doctorate, and I don't have any degrees. I'm a crummy plumber, but I can read. I learned phonics when I was a little boy, and I learned how to read, and I can read the law. I can read Seeger versus U.S. I can read the statutes. So can you. I don't know. You may be educationally challenged. Maybe you can't read the law. Maybe you can't read the statutes. Maybe you were taught to read with look say, you didn't learn phonics, and you're a functional illiterate, and you're handicapped. Well, then maybe you need somebody to read it for you. I will guarantee you this, unless you're mentally retarded, If somebody were to read the statutes to you and read Seeger versus U.S., I think you could understand it, whether you're illiterate or not, as long as you're not mentally deficient. You know, I can't speak for people, you know, that are mentally retarded. All right, let me give you another little story here. Here's a little booklet here called How to Legally Avoid Unwanted Immunizations of All Kinds. It's published by the Humanitarian Publishing Company. Now, I got this from my chiropractor, Dr. Charles Reading. I think if you went in to an alternative health care practitioner, that's any chiropractor, any naturopath, look them up in the Yellow Pages, and call them and say, do you have any information concerning vaccinations? I want to avoid it. Can you tell me something about that? I think almost any of them could do that. That's where I got this. I got it from an alternative healthcare practitioner. If he says, no, I can't, well, could you refer me to somebody that could? Let me give you a couple of pointers here. In Article 1, How to Legally Avoid Unwanted Immunizations. In all of your contacts with any member of the school, public health, or legal establishment, always remain calm, courteous, and humbly reverent toward their position. You're only asking them, and of them, that which the law, duty, binds them to give to you. There isn't any reason, there isn't any advantage to be gained by antagonizing them, giving them the finger, or telling them to kiss off. And that's because most of these public officials actually believe the lies that they are discharging their trust as outlined by the law. I pointed that out to you. You know that nurse I told you about? I'm sure that that nurse was sincere. She honest to God believed that disease had been eradicated through vaccination. Okay, that's her belief in life, and let her have it. Now, that's not mine. So if these people are overstepping the law, then it's up to you to very diplomatically bring the true facts to their attention, but without attempting to belittle them. The more you can preserve their ego, the more easily and quickly you are likely to get what you desire. And it's called a waiver of immunization. So the first thing to do is say, well, do you have an immunization waiver form in the file over there? Because I want to claim medical or I want to claim religious exemption. Now, you should be familiar with medical exemption and religious exemption, and you should go to your state statute. Maybe you live in Connecticut. If you'll go to the law library or if you'll go to Find Law and look for exemptions or look for medical or look for immunization or immunization statutes, you know, get those subjects out there and on the table, all you got to do is read it. You can understand it. It's no big mystery. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need a Rhodes Scholarship. You don't need a degree from college. Assuming, of course, that you're not mentally retarded. All right, now, rule one, don't harass, belittle, or antagonize officials unnecessarily. Now, you might have to get a little strong. You might have to say, listen, let me explain this to you. If you want to shoot my kid up, then you just go right ahead and take full responsibility for any adverse reactions that come from it. I mean, all you got to do is tell the judge, tell the social worker, look, I'm telling you, I'm opposed to it, I don't want it, don't do it. But if you insist that the law requires it, you take full responsibility, and if my kid turns out to be autistic, I'm going to sue you. Cause and effect. If the kid dies, I'm going to sue you for wrongful death. I want you, judge, I want you, social worker, I want you, school nurse, I want you, teacher, I want you, school principal, to take 100% liability for the adverse reactions that may come from this event. That's all. And if you're willing to do that, if you honest to God believe that these vaccines are 100% effectual, effective, and if you believe that they are totally 100% benign and there will be no adverse reactions, you shouldn't have any objection to taking 100% liability. Don't expect me to give you permission to sign the agreement And then when the kid turns out to be autistic, you turn around and say, well, you know, you should have known. You're the parents. You should have taken a religious exemption. You should have taken a medical exemption. Now, don't ever think for a minute that the school nurse has a duty to inform you that there's a waiver or an exemption here. Their duty is to get the kid shot up. That's their job. That's what they're there for. And if you don't want that kid shot up, it's up to you to take a stand. Now, if you can't take a stand, then sit down, shut up, and ride the back of the bus. Rights, boys and girls, are only afforded to the belligerent claimant in person, not to those who cannot claim their rights, not to those that are ignorant of their rights. You either know your rights or you don't. And if you're ignorant, then you don't have it. So, it's gone. Now, if you're one of those that wants to assert your rights, well, then do it. But do it intelligently. You know, don't give people the finger. And I never walk in and give the social worker the finger and say, kiss off. I've had a couple of social workers that needed to have the law explained to them. So you cite the law and you say, now go check that law out. Now, if you want to go ahead and take the responsibility and shoot the kid up, be my guest. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I've never had anybody, when I make that statement to them, I've never had anybody say, oh yes, Mr. Gordon, I want to take full responsibility for the adverse reaction that your kid may suffer from this vaccination. Come on, guys. Principals and teachers, social workers and judges are in business to make money. They're not in business to take responsibility and be paying for the rest of their lives. Neither do the pharmaceutical companies or the doctors or anybody else. So the next time somebody looks at you seriously and says, it's the law, be smart enough to say, I understand that. And I want to comply with the law. Now give me the damn waiver. Pull it out of your file and let's fill it out. Let's comply with the law, Mr. Social Worker. That's all. You know, be smart enough to comply with the law. Now, there's no compulsory vaccination laws. All vaccination laws are voluntary. Just like the evacuation of New Orleans was voluntary. Now, if the policeman comes up and knocks on your door and says, it's the law, it's compulsory evacuation, and if you don't evacuate, we will arrest you. You need to be smart enough to say, okay, arrest me. I'm opposed to the evacuation. I'm not going to voluntarily evacuate. And if you want to arrest me, go ahead. But you should be aware that if you arrest me, there's a potential for a civil rights action against you personally, officer, because you know, or you should have known, that this is a voluntary action and that you're enforcing a taking of my property against my will and over my objection. And you're not compensating me for my house. Now, if you want to take my house and force me out, then get an eminent domain action cooking, and let's go produce witnesses, evidence, and testimony, and maybe you can take my house, and maybe you can't. Now, that's what a compulsory evacuation in New Orleans actually amounted to. It was an eminent domain action by a policeman, and pretty soon we had the National Guard come out and say, well, we're not going to force anybody out. We're going to tell them it's in your best interest. We're going to tell them that there's no sewage. We're going to tell them that it's dangerous. We're going to tell them that the water is polluted. We're going to tell them that you're going to run out of food and water. There's not going to be any food or water in the city here for months to come, and you better leave. We're going to tell them all about that. But we're not going to force anybody out against his will and over his objection. If we can't cunningly coerce him into waiving his rights due to his ignorance, we'll leave him alone. But they're going to do everything that they can, boys and girls, to intimidate you, to threaten you, to make you believe that you have to do this. And if you don't do it, something bad's going to happen to you. And that's what law is all about. Law is knowing where the lines are drawn in the sand. Law is where it empowers you to know, here's what you can do, officer, and here's what you can't do. And I know what you can do, and I know what you can't do. And what it is that you have the legal authority to do, I'm going to submit to. And what you don't have the legal authority to do, I'm going to resist. Now, you want to make sure that this is passive resistance. Passive resistance. I mean, you know, when the cop grabs you and says, okay, you're under arrest, you know, if you punch him in the nose, that's called resisting arrest. You don't want to resist arrest. But by the same token, there was a lady down here in New Orleans that said, well, I had to leave. I didn't want to leave. I told him I didn't want to leave. But the policeman said he would arrest me if I didn't, so I left. Okay. Now, if that lady comes into court and she sues, she'll lose. She left voluntarily. She left under her own power. There's a big difference between being cunningly coerced into waiving your rights and having your rights taken away from you against your will and over your objection. There's a big difference between being a passive wallflower and being an objector, a belligerent objector in person. And keep in mind now that the belligerent objector isn't punching the cop in the nose. So tuck that one away in your heart. So remember this organization here is called the Vaccination Liberation Information. Now, they can give you forms. They can tell you how to avoid getting these vaccines and vaccinations. That's their business. That's what they want to do. If you go to your alternative health care practitioner, he will probably be able to give you a little booklet that will give you the laws of your state. And it will tell you, well, here's where the exemption is. See, I live here in Missouri. I know what the law of Missouri is because it affects me here in Missouri. I haven't got a clue as to what you Texans should do. I don't know what you people in New York and Florida need to do to avoid these vaccines and vaccinations. You probably have compulsory vaccination laws in Texas and Florida and New York. And you also have waivers and exemptions. And you have statutes, and you need to inform yourself of those. And your local health care, that is your local alternative health care, not your local allopathic medical doctor who sells vaccine, but I'm talking about the chiropractors and the naturopaths. They probably can advise you, probably help you. If nothing else, go to a lawyer. Just go to the Yellow Pages and pull out a lawyer and say, I'm opposed to vaccination. What do I have to do to comply with the law of my state here in Texas or New York or where I'm at? He's going to charge you a couple hundred bucks to research it out and to give you the information. But hell, maybe it's worth the $200 to you. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. And there's the story on vaccinations and vaccine. Told you a little something here about what you can expect for the future. And keep in mind, Bible prophecy tells us very plainly that we're going to see a massive dying of people. One-fourth of all the people that are on planet Earth are going to die from disease and pestilence. So says God himself. And the vehicle that he's going to use to do that is going to be your government. Your government. All right, we're out of time. I got to give you a couple of reminders here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Remember, it's free of charge. Just call the Law School and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. We're out of time. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.